This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Producer Tom, push that button.
What's trending at home?
So there's a whole bunch of Democrats push back at the Trump administration for proposing illegal immigrants come to sanctuary cities and sanctuary states just a few weeks after an illegal immigrant murdered Sheriff's Deputy Ryan Thompson. State Democrats in Olympia pushed through to make this state and our status as a sanctuary state even bigger. The State House just passed a bill that prevents state and local agencies from sharing information with the federal government for civil immigration enforcement. This includes cases involving immigrants who are here illegally but who have not committed any serious crimes. Serious crimes. Okay. Because one might argue that road rage, a brief incident of road rage, is not an instance of serious crimes, yet that illegal immigrant who did that shot to death a sheriff's deputy. Democratic Representative Lilian Ortiz Self tells the House that immigrants shouldn't struggle in society.
We want to make sure that they are protected, taken care of, and that they can thrive in our state so that our economy can continue to thrive.
So what she just said there, beyond just being a virtue signal, is pretty disingenuous. Pretending that illegal immigrants are why the state's economy is thriving is pandering, condescending nonsense. Now, I get why they're doing this, right? Again, we've been talking about it in the show today. They're doing this because they want to be the woke party that can count on Latinos to vote for Democrats. And if illegal immigrants ever get the opportunity to legally vote, they know that they can get them to vote for the Democrats. But let's be clear about a implication of what it is she just said. Because I know certainly when we're talking about the eastern side of the state that illegal immigrant work comes into play. If you're hiring an illegal immigrant, you're exploiting someone. You are exploiting labor. It's usually done under the table, so taxes aren't fully paid. And in some cases, you're paying slave wages. This is slave labor. Now, I always thought that the Democratic Party wanted to fight against the exploitation of the workforce. Because usually, and what I love about this argument, it's so self-defeating when it comes from the left, when they say, I'll say, hey, you shouldn't be hiring someone illegally. And then they'll come back and say, oh, well, then if we had to pay an American worker to do this job, we would have to pay double the rate. And then your oranges and your cherries and your apples and your lettuce would be triple the cost. And then I sort of take the Adam Carolla position of, okay, well, then that's how much we end up having to pay. I would prefer to not enslave people. I would prefer that that illegal immigrant doesn't work for $4 an hour. Call me crazy. Call me, I suppose, compassionate. But that seems wrong to me. Now, the Democrats are fighting for the right of people to hire folks at slave wages. Now, the Republicans in Olympia, they didn't have the votes to defeat this. Republican Representative Morgan Irwin, Republican from Enumclaw. He's actually an SPD officer. I love Morgan Irwin. I think he does some tremendous work in Olympia. He says immigrants are important, but we also have to enforce the law.
Sharing information saves lives. It does. We've shown this over and over and over again, highlighting the role of immigrants inside Washington State and the value they add to our economy is beyond important. But the piece of this bill that continues to bother is the piece that says, if you have information, you can't share it with federal partners. And when federal partners have information, then you can't accept it from them. And that's tough because things will get missed.
Things will get missed and people will die. I mean, that's a reality of it. Cops will die. Law enforcement agents will die as a result of this. And they'll die because we know something to be a fact. If you're in this country illegally, whether you're in a sanctuary state or city or county or not, if you're in this country illegally and you have a interaction with a cop, you're going to be especially on edge. Now, if that interaction with a cop is after you've committed some kind of crime, you're going to act out in a more desperate way, much like the loser, the monster in Eastern Washington did in Kittitas County, who decided to murder a sheriff's deputy and significantly wound a police officer. That's what happens. That's what happens when you make it easier for people who are here illegally to survive without any fear that they might actually have to follow the law. Shocking, I know. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So when it comes to grounds for impeachment of President Trump, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic congresswoman from New York, she's all like, oh my God, where do I even begin? She was on this Yahoo News podcast, Skullduggery, and she says she supports impeaching Trump because of a whole bunch of reasons, none of which are crimes.
You could reach in a bag and pull so many things out that are impeachable.
Hey, oh my God.
I support impeaching this president.
Impeach him.
Well, your colleague, Congresswoman Tlaib, she's introduced a resolution mm-hmm. to impeach. Have you signed on? Are you signing on?
We hadn't signed on when it was first introduced, but we probably will. You know, we'll take a look into it.
You think you will?
Yeah. There's just so many things.
Well, what would be your top three? If you were drafting the articles of impeachment for the president, what would be
the top three?
One, two, and
it's three? Not a top question.
Number one is emoluments. Uh-huh. I think it's always been emoluments.
Oh, it's emolument. I don't know what it is or how to spell it, but I am told emoluments clause.
I think it's always been about that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, by the way, it's always been about that for her. Okay, yeah.
Two and three.
She's struggling, by the way. She just said that she could just go into a barrel of and just pull out an impeachable offense at will, and there'd be just so many options.
I think two would be tax fraud. And number three. Number three, if there's an investigation on this, I think this is pretty potent.
So she doesn't have a laundry list of things that she would like to impeach the president on. She just knows she'd like to impeach. She just knows that she would like to impeach. And that's about it. She has a feeling. And the feeling is jealousy and anger. That's her feeling. And that's generally what these Democrats have. Jealousy and anger. And they do not understand, it seems, that by going down this pathway over and over and over again, they are making it easier for President Trump to win re-election. Because the American people are fatigued of all of the attacks. When you come out there and you so confidently say, oh my God, there's like a million things that we can impeach him for. Okay, name three. His hair? His tie is a little bit too long. But she doesn't even have the three. She said there's a number of reasons to impeach. She couldn't come up with three.
I mean, there's just so much.
Oh, my God. There's, like, so much. You don't understand. There's, like, so much. Do you get it? There's so, so, so much.
How much?
Like, a lot.
Like, how many?
Like, oh, my God. Like, a lot.
Like a number, though. Do you have a number?
Like, there's so many numbers. Like, did you know that there's technically infinity numbers? Like, infinity. Like, pi. 3.1537A3912. Like, oh my God.
There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I know. So I'm so outraged.
Okay. Let me ask
you. Like, the census.
Okay, you're going to impeach him because he had a census questionnaire that was supposed to ask whether or not you're in this country illegally. That's not illegal, but apparently it's an impeachable offense. What else? He likes Diet Coke. I'm a Pepsi girl.
There's, right. You know, I can't even, the tax bill, it's like, what can, like, there's just so much.
Yet you can't articulate anything. There's like so much. This one time, he pushed this bill I didn't like. That's an impeachable offense. That's impeachable. Did you not know that?
What bill are you talking about?
The tax bill.
Oh.
That's wrong. I don't like it. And so we should impeach. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
This is super exciting news. No, it has nothing to do with the Mariners. No, it has nothing to do with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. But yet again, the Seattle Sounders continued their unbeaten... What are you doing?
What?
Don't give me what. You played the traffic bed. Yeah. I was just... I can't just speak a clear set. I can't
we
even get a sentence out.
Got to get to traffic.
No, I know we got to get to traffic. I'm a professional broadcaster.
Okay, so
do you think that maybe I timed it out so I can at least get a couple sentences out?
Well, maybe you tried to time it out, but you went way too long on immigration. And then that whole AOC thing, I don't even know what that was. That was just ridiculously long. It stopped being funny a while ago. We're out of time. We need to get to traffic.
You know what stopped being funny a while ago? You getting in the way of me delivering a Sounders score.
For sure. We got Luke on the line.
Luke Rosiak?
Yeah.
He won't let me do...
You are completely out of time. You spent like 10 minutes doing the AOC bit.
Yeah. 10 minutes. We've only been on the air for 15 minutes in this segment.
Yeah.
Well, the Sounders extended their unbeaten streak. Okay. Okay. Just play the track. You want to text us on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. The number is 1-800-465-8770. In fact, if you text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770, we'll send you a link so you can follow me and Saul Spady and Ben Shapiro and Michael Medved on Twitter. I am so close to hitting that benchmark to unlock a whole host of different tools and devices to my Twitter feed. I would really like to hit that benchmark. I only need about 100 new followers. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770 or just add Jason Rantz on Twitter. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett, she's got a brand new book out. However, it is bombing on Amazon. It's only got 3 reviews, but somehow it manages to be on the New York Times bestseller list. So how exactly does that work out? Joining me on the line to try to figure this out is Luke Rosiak. He's the author of Obstruction of Justice, and he's an investigative reporter with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Luke, thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime.
So how does this work? It sounds like there's something going on.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Valerie Jarrett's book gets on the bestseller list the same way that Aunt Becky from Full House got her kids into USC through paying people off to game the system. There are companies out there, one company in particular called Results Source Incorporated. Basically, you pay them, and if you're an author, and they'll buy up all the books, and they do it in a way that's designed to prevent the New York Times from realizing that you're buying your own books. And they send people out to different little bookstores that report their statistics to the Times, and they use fake credit, like different credit card numbers. And so there's this whole sketchy industry in the book world designed to trick the New York Times. And so I talked to a lot of people who all think that's the only explanation, because this book is an extreme flop. I mean, she's supposedly got like $1 million advance, and it is number 1,000 on Amazon. It's nearly identical in rank on Barnes & Noble. So that's its real number right there. I mean, mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest retailers out there. There's no way that it's number 1,000 in popularity on those two. But then, according to the New York Times, it's like it's number 14.
So to buy your way onto the New York Times bestseller list, is it that the New York Times, they would disqualify a book that went this way? Is that why they have to do it sort of on the DL?
Yeah, the books, and it's not just the New York Times that makes their own bestseller list. All of the people that keep these charts, if they see a bulk order from a company, or sometimes people give like, you know, speeches, or they get their company to buy them up, or if it's just the author buying their own book because they're rich and they want that cachet and they don't care about making money, they just want the prestige mm-hmm. of being able to stay on the New York Times bestseller, they'll just buy them up, and that's supposed to be excluded. And so one of the interesting things here is that the main bestseller list that everyone, the primary alternative to the New York Times bestseller list, is generated by, you know how Nielsen does like the TV ratings?
Yeah.
They do that for books too. And so they have this metric called book scan. And so that shows that Jarrett's book sold 12,000 books in the first week, which is really high. It should have placed like number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list based on that number. But they bumped it way down because I think the New York Times realizes that there was some sketchiness going on here. And even stranger, the other lists that rely on that book excluded it entirely. So Publishers Weekly is a highly regarded list in the book industry, and it appears nowhere on that list, even though it should have been like number 7 on that list. And so it's got to be because they think that Valerie Jarrett tried to buy her way onto these lists. You know, and sure enough, if you look at her, she gives these paid speeches, and even look at her Twitter handle, she's going around now telling everyone, mm-hmm. I'm a New York Times bestseller. And so that's something that's going to enrich her down the line. But there are significant indications that, I don't know if fraud is the right word, because it's not illegal to do this, but it's basically a campaign designed to deceive the New York Times and buy herself some prestige.
Certainly there are some ethical implications to this. Now, on the one hand, I would say, okay, I might understand why someone would do something like this as a means to publicize the book being out, right? I mean, once you hear something's on the bestseller list, you think to yourself, oh, that sounds interesting. I've never heard of this book before. Now I'm going to go check it out. So there's some of that there. But the problem is she's keeping off some other author who legitimately is selling books that should be on that list that would otherwise help their book sales. And so it's incredibly deceitful, and it actually hurts other authors.
Yeah, that's true. And it's kind of funny because on one hand, we have sort of the ethical distaste of this, but then there's also just the sheer embarrassment of it. Even after she apparently bought her way onto the New York Times, the book still didn't take off for the reason that you mentioned, which is that there tends to be momentum for these things. So a lot of people look at the New York Times bestseller list to decide what they want to buy. And mm-hmm. it was on there in this book's first week, so you would expect those sales to have taken off. But even since it got its spot on that list on the first week, no one wants to buy it. I mean, three reviews on Amazon 2 weeks after launch is really embarrassing. I mean, I wrote a book that came out 2 weeks ago myself, my first book called Obstruction of Justice, and it did a lot. I mean, frankly, it did a lot better than Valerie Jarrett's book, and I'm a nobody, and I didn't get $1 million advance like she did. So this is kind of really embarrassing to be one of these top advisors to Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's just because I don't think anyone cares about what Valerie Jarrett has to say about anything. And I'm someone who generally likes to read books on either side of the aisle that takes you behind the scenes. But there's just something about just the name of the title, Finding My Voice. Yeah, I don't care about your voice. If you've got me some juicy details on what's going on in the White House under Obama, I'm certainly more inclined to check it out. But how about this? Instead of checking out Finding My Voice, go ahead and purchase Obstruction of Justice, the brand new book out by Luke Rosiak. He is an investigative reporter for the Daily Caller News Foundation. Luke, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So Washington State Democrats, they are making the pitch for the third presidential primary debate to be held in Seattle. They're asking you to sign a petition that would be sent to the DNC, but ultimately this is a way to get you to give over your information to the party so they can send you a whole bunch of propaganda. Party Councilwoman Tina Podlodowski, she says she's going to hand deliver a petition on April 25th when she's in Washington, D.C.
You know, the presidential candidates, they come and visit our state for donations. Let's have them come and speak with our voters.
Now, I don't disagree with her point there. I think it's very fair. In fact, she's making the argument that it should be held at the Paramount Theater in Seattle. She spoke with our sister station, Cairo Radio. But let's be very clear about something. It's not going to happen. Number one, because Inslee won't even be in the race by then. And number two, we're solidly blue. There's no reason for them to come here. We are not an important state when it comes to the direction of our country based on where the candidates need to go. The candidates need to go to these swing states. We're not a swing state. Bringing the attention of the nation via a debate into a city makes the city feel really, really important. It builds some goodwill. They don't need to build goodwill here. They don't need to build it here. Washington State is 100% going to go to president or to whoever the candidate is coming from the Democratic Party. It's not going to go to President Trump. So why exactly would they want to come here? What's the point? Plus, they'll be mad if they go to SeaTac Airport. Because you know what happens when you go to SeaTac Airport, Producer Tom?
You can't park, dang it.
Well, that's true. But you know what else?
You get on a plane.
No, before that?
You go through security.
After that?
and you take your shoes off.
No, that after no after security.
Unless you pre-check.
No, just move on after that.
You get food?
No, well, I mean, that's part of it, but what do you do with the food?
You eat it?
And then you sit down?
You have to go to the bathroom?
No, you sit down. What happens when you sit down? You look at your phone, right, because you're bored, and you know what you can't do? Plug it in anywhere, because there's no outlets! It's the Jason Rand Show.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. The Big Local is a very simple segment that we do courtesy of Sean Keller Smiles by Design, a wonderful sponsor. The segment is very simple in that the media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, and they end up ignoring a lot of important stories happening all across the state of Washington. So we do the exact opposite. We ignore Seattle. We focus on the communities you live in, the communities you care about most. And we start with what is kind of an urgent an important story out of Aberdeen, where police are warning you, keep your 18-year-old sons in the house for the next few days because a cougar was spotted early Sunday morning. This according to Aberdeen Police Department. Cairo 7 says police are encouraging residents to take extra precautions with their children and pets. I don't know if, I mean, a cougar, I mean, it's a 17 maybe, I guess, but that's wrong. They'll probably go for the 18 or 19-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Keep them inside. They said this cougar, this gorgeous cougar, was spotted on camera at a house near Pioneer Boulevard and Randolph Street and was reportedly stalking a neighborhood teen. That's insane.
That's awesome.
No, that's not awesome.
It's kind of cool.
No, it's not.
Low-key cool.
Oh, wait, what? Okay, when I was super excited about this story during the show prep time, why didn't you tell me they were literally talking about a cougar like a cat? Because this story now ends, animal control and the Department of Fish and Wildlife have been advised. Why didn't you tell me that this was an act? You didn't think to say anything. You heard me go on and on about how we need to do a lot more to make sure that our young boys are comfortable in their own households, in their own communities, in their own schools. And this was yet another story about preying on teenagers at the worst possible time.
Well, yeah, that's not as cool.
It's not cool at all. There's a cougar on the
loose. The first option was kind of
cool. What are you supposed to do with the cougar stories? Because we always hear about the bears, and we're all like, there's certain things you got to do. You got to get really big and throw things and be loud at certain bears. Some bears you're supposed to just play dead, which is ironic because you won't need to play dead after they catch you really quickly pretending to be dead. Then just, they're so, okay, you're condescending me, and then they slash you to death. Is there anything you're supposed to do with a cougar? My presumption is you're not going to be able to outrun it.
Yeah, no, you want to try to distract it with some yarn.
Some,
and then just give him a ball of yarn.
No, you jingle the keys.
Yep, or you could do that too.
I think I saw that on an episode of The Simpsons once, or maybe The Family Guy. I can't remember. Just put the little keys around. Like, hey,
and that's educational content. So, I mean,
That's not going to lead to anyone dying or getting seriously mauled. What I am kind of curious what you are supposed to do other than get indoors as quickly as possible, get into a car, get into a house or something.
Well, the animal control typically comes out and they get rid of it themselves.
Well, I mean, yes, but if you're just wandering down the street, maybe you're doing your cardio for the weekend and then all of a sudden on your run.
You don't want to run.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Pray?
You're supposed to play dead?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know
like
what you're supposed to do when it comes to a cougar. Now, I take this position as someone who doesn't ever expect to run into a cougar because of where I live and because I just don't swing that way.
Yeah, it's just, it makes sense to not engage.
Yeah. Apparently, to protect yourself from a cougar is to make yourself large. That according to Jason's Hair, which is what we've labeled this texter. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds true. Like, all of this stuff sounds right.
It makes sense.
But I don't know. Does it, though? Have we told ourselves that it makes sense? Does it, when we're talking about, let's just say you or me and a cougar staring us down. A cougar is a huge beast, very powerful, very fast. You mean to tell me that it gets scared if we make ourselves large? And by the way, how much larger can we make ourselves?
I'm pretty large.
What are we doing? We're putting our hands over our head. We're standing on our tippy toes. We look like doofuses if we do
that. Yeah, they think they see something large, and they think they see someone small waving their hands.
Are cougars stupid? Is that supposed to legitimately get them all freaked out?
They never went to college.
To distract a cougar, throw a bottle of Chardonnay, then tell them there are more teenagers over there. That's a good text. 1-800-465-8770.
That's the best text we've ever
seen. That was a great text. If you want to send us a text at the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Meanwhile, a thief entered a home in Maple Valley on Friday night. And what's interesting about this and a little scary about this is she entered the home while the homeowners were actually there.
Maple Valley's changed. It's a different place now. A lot more crime than when I've lived here 27 years, I guess, since I was born. And I've definitely seen it change in the last few years with the growth.
So the robbery occurred around 5:30-ish p.m. on Friday as both of the homeowners, Brandon, who you just heard, they're talking with Cairo 7 TV and Jacqueline. While they were outside, they had their garage door open. And the burglar decided to just sort of take advantage of that.
I guess I was complacent and should probably keep it locked and down all the time. Set my alarm when I have a fire in my own yard.
The woman was able to sneak in, steal a purse, and then run off. All while the couple stood by their fire pit just a few feet away. It wasn't until Jacqueline went inside and was like, I can't find my purse. What's going on? So she decided to check their surveillance cameras.
And we could see this lady just walk right through here. Like, she knew exactly where she was going, and then he saw on cameras that some woman walked out the front door with my purse.
So that's when they discovered they had been robbed. The woman was in the house for a total of about two minutes, and she only took the purse. So I suppose if we're going to look at this as a glass half full scenario, it just took the purse. Brandon says the burglary pointed out what he says was a momentary lapse of judgment, but with respect, I mean... You're the victim here. This was not a momentary lapse of judgment. You can leave your garage door open in most communities. But the problem is Maple Valley is dealing with the symptom of a much bigger issue in this region. We talk all the time about the bad policies of Seattle spreading all across the state. And I think that this is an example of that. Criminals right now are feeling empowered. They're feeling empowered because in the state's most populous city, they're not really enforcing the law. Cops would love to enforce the law, but they're not being allowed to. They're not being allowed to go after people like this. And so as a result, more and more criminals are thinking to themselves, oh, if it's not going to happen in Seattle, well, it's not going to happen in Maple Valley. Now, the cops in Maple Valley, they will absolutely get involved. But if you empower enough criminals, there's only so much that cops there can do. They don't have an incredibly huge police force. This is not an easy area to put out a whole bunch of cops on patrol. Right? I mean, we're talking about a large part of, the city is not just a whole bunch of apartments on top of each other. And so they can only do so much. And when we've empowered these bad guys to do bad things, this is what happens. This is what happens. I truly believe that this is being driven by what's happening in Seattle. And that's a shame. And then finally, I'm told it's finally happening.
Ooh, Foxy Lady.
Talking about the cougar. So after a years-long push to dedicate a post office in Renton to Jimi Hendrix, they're finally putting up a plaque. It's going to be installed on Friday. He was born in Renton. He went to Garfield High School in Seattle. Congress had to get involved to make the dedication happen because it is a federal post office, so they have jurisdiction. They passed a bill allowing the renaming this past year. I hope they didn't spend a lot of time on that bill, neither writing it nor deciding it. This is one of those things where they can just say, yay, nay, all the yays. Okay, goodbye, let's move on. This is so silly. Does Jimi Hendrix want? Would he have wanted his name on a post office?
That's what he would have wanted.
Isn't that kind of weird? Like, maybe you give him a stamp and he might think that that would be cool, right? But a small plaque on a post office? The only worst place that you can put a plaque is like the DMV. Everyone hates going to the post office. They're incredibly slow. The people who work there tend to be rude. Not all of them, but a lot of them. The only other place worse is the DMV.
He used that post office whenever he needed to mail something when he was in Renton.
The post office didn't even exist. You think he ever mailed anything?
But before he got famous, oh yeah.
Really?
Isn't that the only way to mail things back in the day? I don't know. You tell me.
Before you get famous? I don't know. I'm famous.
Well.
I know you were trying to make an old joke, but I'm not that old, number one. Number two, I'm famous, so I don't use a post office. I don't want to be recognized.
I don't think anyone uses a post office anymore.
But it's just like, of all the things to do in Renton, especially because, look, he's from Renton. Renton should make a much bigger deal about this. Name a music school after him. Name a high school after him or an elementary school after him. Do something a little bit more than a small plaque that no one's going to be able to see. No one's going to look at that stupid plaque, and no one knows the name of any of their post offices. So they just say, oh, the post office on Main Street.
Do they call it the Jimi Hendrix post office now?
I just said, no one says any. What's the name of the post office nearest to your home in Auburn? The post office on 3rd Street. I mean, no one knows the name of post offices.
Right, but now they do.
No, I don't think they do.
It's easy publicity. It makes sense. Great business move.
Yeah, this will save the U.S. Postal Service.
In Renton, it will.
All those deficits out the window because now everyone's super excited about going to the Jimi Hendrix post office.
They may be broke, but they do rock.
That, no. No, Tom, no.
Bam, 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 bam.
No, Tom. No. No. Get the water bottle. No. I'll get the water bottle. No.
Bam.
No.
Bam, bam, bam,
bam. You're listening to the Jason Rancher. Welcome back to the Jason Rancher. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for all the tweets this afternoon. Don't forget, if you're not on Twitter, you should be. And if you are on Twitter and you don't follow me already, shame on you. I'm very disappointed. I am very deeply disappointed in you. But you can turn things around. Turn things around by following me on Twitter. Twitter.com/JasonRants. I'm very close to hitting a Twitter benchmark for followers, which opens a whole bunch of new tools so that we can help spread the message of the show and spread the message of all the content we put out there. So please, 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 if you haven't already done so, give me a follow at twitter.com/JasonRants. Essie Cupp is someone I really like. She's one of the few people on CNN that I really like. She was on with Poppy Harlow, who producer Tom really, 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 really likes, to a point where we had to have a conversation with HR about what I've deemed the shrine to Poppy that he has in the studio that's making everybody uncomfortable.
It's free country.
I know, but this is a workplace, and some of the photos that you have chosen to put on this vision board, in your words, my words again, a shrine, it's very uncomfortable. But Essie Cupp was on with Poppy Harlow, and they were talking about who could actually beat President Trump. Now, Essie Cupp is a conservative who is pretty critical of the president. And even she's saying, man, you have no one who's running right now who's going to be able to win. So what exactly do they need to do?
In 4 to 8 to 10 years, the Republican Party is really going to have to pay for a lot of the political decisions that were made.
Notice what you just said.
But I'm not the Republican Party these days.
But you say you're a very smart voice in it, though. You said 4 to 8 to 10 years, not 2 years, not 2020. You don't think they pay for this as a party in 2020?
I don't think so. The current Democratic field and the messages they're running, I haven't seen yet a winning counter.
Now that's good news, right? I mean, we don't want a Democrat to win, including the folks who maybe are not too hot on President Trump. They still don't want Democrats to win. And you look at who specifically is in the lead. You've got a whole bunch of people who just don't make good sense for this country. Bernie Sanders is leading. Bernie Sanders is not going to be president. He's not going to be president. Thankfully, he's not going to be president. He's not going to bring his far to the left fringe positions to this country's highest office. He's not. So who exactly do they have on the left? It's really interesting. They've chose to lean in to the fringe when I think all they have to do is put up a moderate Democrat. That's why I truly believe that Howard Schultz is a bigger threat than people will give him credit for. I think you see some voices within the Democratic Party that see that, and that's why they early on went on the attack against Howard Schultz. But the fact of the matter is, Howard Schultz has an avenue to victory if certainly if the Democratic Party put up a crazy. all the people who are leading on the Democratic side are fringe candidates, except Joe Biden. Joe Biden, though, is not going to win because the moderate can't win in the Democratic Party. You know, for all the conversation about what President Trump has done to the Republican Party, and let's be clear, he's done some damage to the idea of what we traditionally would refer to as conservatism. There's no doubt whatsoever. And this comes from someone who I think I'm fair when it comes to President Trump. When he says something crazy, I'll call him out. When he does something that I agree with, I'll give him credit. I'm a pretty fair voice, I think, when it comes to the president. But let's be clear, he has changed this party. And SC Cup is right that there's going to be some decisions to be made in the coming years as to whether or not we want to continue to go down a certain path. But for all that conversation, I feel like we're still missing the big conversation. I think the media, for the most part, is missing the bigger conversation of the turmoil within the Democratic Party. And again, when I was at the DNC, I made this point multiple times on air and in my blog, where the folks in the media who are so hyper-focused on what Donald Trump is doing to the Republican Party, they completely ignored this huge chasm between the Bernie Sanders type and the Hillary Clinton type. They're doing the same thing now with the Joe Biden supporters and the Bernie supporters. The Democratic Party is breaking up. The Democratic Party is in more turmoil than the Republican Party. The only difference is we talk about what's going on with the Republicans more than we talk about what's going on in the Democratic side. Now, that's good news from a Republican perspective, because if you don't talk about the problem, you're not going to actually address the problem. Now, the Republicans were pretty vocal in how they wanted to address some of the problems perceived and otherwise within the Republican Party, and they were forcing that conversation because of the media's hyper-focus on it. But the media is ignoring, virtually ignoring, all of the infighting within the Democratic Party. That's good news for us, but man, I just don't understand their strategy of who they're going behind. Their strongest person is either Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, two incredibly old white dudes who say nothing new or innovative. It's a Jason Rancho.